Everybody, Lisa here. I apologize about the quality of this recording. I'm recording on my little old computer. I just wanted to let you know that due to technical difficulties beyond our control, there will be no backstage today. So I really apologize for that. So kick back, relax, put your feet up, have a cocktail, and enjoy this week's show. See you in the funny papers.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance 427. I'm Nicole Shiro, along with Nick Mayo, and together we make
Nick Squared!
And you're listening to KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Life was a road so certain and straight and unbent.
It's Wednesday, August 23rd, and today we have on the show TexArts with the best little whorehouse in Texas and The Vortex in their production of Ocean. Of course, we'll have lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater, Austin, New York, Timbuktu, Portland, and beyond. Stay tuned. Nick, do you know what that's from?
I do.
I love that song. First of all, I love that show. It's a beautiful song. Do you know what version this is?
I just read that it's Liz Calloway.
Okay, because I heart Liz Calloway. I heart Ann Hampton Calloway, those Calloway sisters.
And I've never heard this version. She's so clean.
Clean. And the piano and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that Liz. We're going to put her out. I just thought that Back to Before, it's such an important song, and I just thought with everything going on, I'm like, well, you know what, we're gonna play a little ragtime today. So thank you to Liz Calloway for that, and thank you to Kim Simpson for another wonderful show. So Nick, how are you checking in?
So good.
What you been up to this last week?
We closed Summerstock Austin, which was wonderful.
And very great success. Kudos to you.
Super exciting, fun Summerstock Austin. And just kind of taking a little breather before on to other things.
Yeah.
What about you? How are you?
I'm good. I was in Houston getting my bodyguard on.
And
do you know I almost played a song and then I stopped because they won't leave your head. Why is it that every Whitney Houston song will not leave your head?
I don't know.
Ever.
It makes me want to run to you.
Oh, my God. So I have to say that Deborah Cox, she's just kind of awesome sauce. We were talking a little bit about it earlier, but she's awesome sauce. She's a good lady.
How are crowds in Houston like in The Bodyguard?
Houston is loving it. There's some Houstonians in it. So, I mean, they're not done. They're back in Texas in September. They'll be in San Antonio. So if you want to get your bodyguard on, they'll be playing the Majestic. And
oh, they are. They're going to be in San Antonio.
So for more information for that, sanantonio.broadway.com.
They got the stuff that you want. They got the things that you need.
Well, yeah. And Judson Mills plays the bodyguard. Sorry. And I love the Judson from As the World Turns because he played Hutch like 2003 to 2006. But folks may know him from Texas Walker Ranger and a whole bunch of other shows.
Well, that was with Chuck Norris, right?
Yes.
One of my first jobs was on the Walker Texas Ranger. I have to tell you,
you know, Deborah Cox worked with your husband and she saw his picture on my phone and recognized him right away. And it was like a love fest going on.
They did that production of Jekyll and Hyde on Broadway together that he came home and was like, hey, I really got you. I know it's Wild Horn and it's not really your thing, but I want you to listen to her. And I was blown away.
Yeah, she's just as gracious in person. So yes, I know. I text phenomenal. Michael, so I think your husband and I are going on a field trip San Antonio to go.
Yeah, I'll watch
get
the
it
dogs.
On. So
I will watch
yep,
the dogs.
I am all for it. So that's what's going on. So So yeah, that's about it.
Crazy we have a really cool group
we
here.
We do
today.
Have an amazing cool. So I'm going to introduce everyone so people don't sound like disembodied voices when we start talking here for a minute. And of course, everything cut off. So I'm just going to go around. This isn't in order of how you're standing. So you're just going to have to pipe up. Make sure you know who you are. It's important right now. I'm going to put you on the spot. So Christina Stroop. Oh, hello, Christina. Why don't you say that again so people can actually hear you?
Hey, girl.
Hello. Hi. Hello. Hello. She's for there. Roderick. Roderick Sanford.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Lauren, is it DeFilippo or DeFilippo?
Well, DeFilippo, Americanized. Italian, DeFilippo.
DeFilippo. Say, Schiero is my last name, should be. C got dropped. So now I'm Japanese. Shiro. I went from one to the other. Hello. But that's okay because I'm Japanese, trapped in an Italian-Irish body. So it kind of worked out. Jarrett Malin, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you.
You too.
Ebony Stewart.
Yo.
And Sanja Parks.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, we have some really cool cats in town.
It's a cool show today.
I'm Lisa. We're missing you. I should say Lisa's been crazy busy. And Lisa starts rehearsals for the new show with the Ground Floor Theater this weekend. So, like,
it's
that's
very exciting.
Exciting. Groundfloortheater.org for more information. So I do have some notes and some things. Lisa sent me the new Ham for Ham that went on out in L.A. So I was all like, are you sending me a sound clip? Like, are we playing it? She's like, no, I just wanted you to know. She's like, you don't have to talk about it. I'm like, but you put it in the thing. So we're going to talk about it.
Nice. I didn't see it.
They did. Actually, it's a great little YouTube video, and it will be linked to the show afterwards. I already had it linked on there, so you can watch it. But boy, LA was just getting as excited as everybody else for the Hamilton. And then I actually, this morning, Hamilton put out this new app recently this month. I don't know, it was on August 11th or so that they put out this new app that they created to help with the lottery. I mean, he's really paving the way and the model for how people are doing things. But what was so cool is I read this really interesting article that was an interview on Broadway World with the gentleman who created the app. And coming from this technical kind of aspect and trying to get creative and then something as iconic and well-known as Hamilton and putting all these thoughts and putting them together because it's really cool. Like, has anyone seen the app or been on the app or Mm-mm. used the app?
No.
So it has some really cool, I like that, not yet. Everybody's frantically downloading. It has like a really cool, like some different content to learn about the show. It has like little stickers and little memes that you can use. It has information and interviews with Lynn. It kind of expands besides just being for a lottery. And it's very clear. You know, sometimes the apps can get like overwhelming. You download them and then you're like, this has been the most unuseful thing ever. And you want to delete. And this looked kind of cool. So I just kind of found it interesting. And I thought it was really cool that Broadway looked at the technical side of it and like talked to the tech person. It wasn't just in a tech trade paper.
Yeah,
like that
that's
it was.
Cool.
Yeah. I was kind of like, oh, behind the curtain, tech wise.
That's pretty cool. I just learned that memes aren't pronounced memes. So I'm the wrong crowd for the Hamilton app.
Do you say GIF?
Thank you. I'm slow to it. I was trying to be cool. I was trying to be.
But
lit.
Do you say emoji or emoticon?
Yeah, you are lit.
I think it's because we're of a certain
youth,
age.
The youth say
so
that.
We're beyond that.
It was just a bit extra of me to not see what
this
I just did there.
This terminology is fantastic. I'm living.
But thanks. I'm lit. I tried to talk about memes. And I was like, that's just a crazy meme. And got some looks. So yeah, the Hamilton app will not be on my phone because I just downloaded Chase Bank.
But do you say emoticon or emoji? Like
Emoji.
Emoji?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, I said emoticon the other day and some kid looked at me and was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, that's what it was called before. It was an emoji. But then there was a whole article a few years ago on pronouncing GIF isn't GIF, it's JIF.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. Apparently there's a whole subculture that we don't know.
Well, Us theater people never been known for being super cool.
No. Well, you know what? We got a little super cooler with this interview today. So there you go. And I'm so mad at myself because I didn't print this one thing. But did you see Dear Evan and How? I can't tell you who it is because I have my computer closed.
Actually, one of them is a friend of mine, Taylor French.
It is. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So two. You knew I was going about Evan Hansen?
Yes. Okay. They're coming in. He's coming in
There's
January.
Two new Evans. Yep. Yeah. They didn't print it. They announced two new Evans. Are you frantically looking it up for me, Nick?
I'm trying to help.
Okay, cool. So who say that? Say that
Taylor
name.
Taylor Trench. He's in Hello Dolly right now as Barney.
Yes. Wonderful. So Taylor is one, and I was all like, oh, and I didn't print it out like a dork.
And of course Noah Galvin is the other one.
Of course. Are you
just
familiar?
Looked it up on my iPhone. My iTelephone.
Love it. At the same time as you downloaded your app, are magical.
So the two new Evans will be Noah Galvin and Taylor Trench. Congratulations, boys.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So I thought it was smart announcing both. I thought it was, they're very different, which is like different backgrounds. So I thought that was cool. We knew it was coming. We had been saying for a while, when will it happen? When will it happen? So surprise!
It happened.
So we had some passings this week. I'm going to get it out. We had Jerry Lewis passed. I was kind of like, really?
Did
you work with him?
I did. I did
What'd
Nutty
you work
Professor
with him,
with him and Marvin Hamlisch.
Oh, okay. That amazing. Seems like a nutty time.
It was.
Do tell. Any good stories?
Man, all I have to say is we were all sitting around first day of rehearsal waiting for Jerry Lewis, who was our director, and Marvin Hamlisch just like sitting at the piano, like we're trying to kill time. Like, where's Jerry? Where's our director? We're, you know, sitting around waiting. And then the doors swing open of New 42.
Dramatic
and this
entrance.
This little minion comes in and sets up this director chair. And then the doors close again. We're like, whoa, he's got an entrance. And then the doors opened again. And Jerry came in and just proceeded to do 30 minutes of stand-up. We were like, wow, this is how this process is going to be. Jerry Lewis just sitting in a chair making us laugh. It was amazing. What a dear, what a big loss.
It's a big loss. I mean, he raised so many billions of dollars, I should say, for muscular dystrophy. I mean, I think all of us know our Labor Days being taken over by Jerry Lewis for almost 48 hours. Mm-hmm. And so many people looked to him as an inspiration for comedy and for television, film, like, stage, like everything. So it's a big loss. And I was like,
it's a big
no.
loss. And he's a big theater lover, like his love for the Nutty Professor and wanting to be
he did the Guys and Dolls, like,
I
people
know.
Still talk about
and the
him
Damn Yankees,
and, yeah.
the Damn Yankees
so,
tour. I mean, he did a lot of contributions to the theater, so big loss.
I thought that was a big loss. And then good old Thomas Meehan passes away right afterwards. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's another huge loss. I should say they were 88 and 91 respectively. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both lived full lives, but still another great loss. You know, my Annie, I'm in love with Annie. Mm-hmm. So like Thomas, he looked like he's scolding me in this photo. So I had to print it, but I look like I want to get scolded by him in this photo. Don't you agree, listeners? Annie, the producers, Hairspray, Crybaby, Chaplin. The guy, he did it all. He's worked with so many greats. He was a big reason why Annie just came back with that Anthony Warlaw. That man, that Australian, he was everything as Daddy Warbucks. So passing, that was kind of sad. So I was bummed out. Big losses.
And there's one more too, Dick Gregory, the comedian.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! So well, then hopefully that's our threes, and we're done for a while. Oh, I don't know how I missed Dick Gregory. So thank you for.
And locally, I mean, this whole show could be obituaries, but locally we also lost James Armstrong.
James Armstrong,
who was
a huge philanthropist of the arts and supporter of the arts, many organizations for many years.
Many years.
A lot of organizations that I work with that work with him, they were feeling the loss yesterday. Mm-hmm. Michael Barnes wrote a really nice blog on the Statesman that we can link to. But yeah, that was a
Armstrong
big
School of Music
hit for Austin.
A big, big
a
hit.
Big
and big
hit.
And big philanthropic shoes for Austin to fill. as well in terms of art supporters. It's an opportunity, I mean, to look at him and be inspired for giving. That's my thing, is that people like James are an old school way of supporting the arts. Independent art supporters make the difference, and we all know that. And he really set a great example for future generations and left a really wonderful canvas to be filled. And to he's a model of
art. He was very personally, wasn't just the guy who wrote the check and then was like, do it. Like, he got to know the artists. He got to know the creatives. He got to know the patrons. Mm-hmm. He was very involved, and he did it because he loved it and he could. It wasn't just like, oh, yeah, that's my duty, or oh, yeah, which some people do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it just makes it so much more poignant and, heartfelt. So, well, hats off. I'm making a sad face. Losses. But all right, it's back to school. And I couldn't find a good back to school sound like my crime section that we normally have. We hadn't had anyone breaking the law lately, so we don't have our ding ding crime. And I couldn't find a good back to school sound, but I have a back to school section.
Yeah, let's do
it. We're gonna get back to school here. So, love this article, and I knew you were gonna be all about it, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's important for high schoolers to perform Spring Awakening, Heathers, and more.
I do not like this.
You don't like
this? No, keep going, keep going.
So you really don't? They talked to a whole bunch of educators and students, and they asked them to make persuasive cases about why it's important to have this material done at a high school level. And why are you getting, before I go in?
No, just keep going. I'm not going to make an opinion until I hear more about it.
So I like this stuff. It says, when you think about subjects appropriate for the high school stage, some people might take Big Fun's advice from the Heathers movie, teenage suicide, don't do it. But in reality, controversial shows tackling tough topics like suicide, sexuality, and more are becoming increasingly popular in high schools. And, you know, some of the parents, it's making complications from shows like Spring Awakening, Rent, Next Normal, 13, Heathers. They all have more mature themes, and it makes teachers and students and creators, it challenges them, but they're all saying and responding and saying they're up for this challenge. Some schools are able and some schools are proud to perform stuff. Some will junior-fy it and do the junior versions, but they're trying to figure out how to do it. So I like this one quote, Danielle Miller at the Hoboken High School in New Jersey. They're about to do Spring Awakening, and she said, we live in a world where everything is being covered up or changed, and sometimes the only way to hear these types of experiences is through art or theater. I was like, good point. But the students said, it's important to perform shows like Spring Awakening because it's bringing to light a topic and showing the audience we need to talk about it. It's interesting when you hear a teen say it.
Mm-hmm.
That the teen wants the audience to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so they went on to say that the unaltered shows are better because they show more diversity. They're places where you'd be fired and it'd be in the papers. And it's a shame because those school districts are saying things like pregnancy and homosexuality and suicide are not acceptable. These are the types of problems our youth are facing in the world, and they're not going away. So shows with deeper meaning like Rent, Working, and Laramie Project, they seem to connect the students and bring the audiences to their feet after a performance. Mm-hmm. Even the Revised, they're not big, but they did a conservative school. She thinks they did a version of Heathers, and they felt that they could still get the topics at this conservative school by doing a pared down version of it. So it says at every show, we had community outreach with teen support groups, therapists, and organizations that support being kind to yourself and others. I personally enjoy a high school edition sometimes more than the original because the message of the show is to make it beautiful, and the script is pure magic, and it has enough bite and all heart. So it kind of goes back and forth and reads on both sides and does different stuff. I mean, there's a worry that you can't deliver a cuss-free word edition. I mean, that comes up at times. Like, does it have the same meaning when you take that out? They also worry that sometimes an edition is neutered and unrecognizable, so it lacks the DNA of what was so great about it originally. But they're seeing how inspired the kids get when they're trusted with these ideas and stories and songs. And none of that seems to matter when the kids are so invested. And it says, of course, something can be lost when a grown-up, scary, or upsetting show is softened by a bit less upsetting or fewer buttons pushed. But something can be gained when kids get an early chance to confront scary questions and try out new possibilities. So, what do you have to say now?
Well, it's kind of like when my mother came to see our show choir when we did a Rent medley, and I was dancing up in some pleather pants, and her response was, well, it was no state fair, but I liked it. I'm a little bit with my mom on some of those things. Like, I'm so happy that we're using these pieces, whether they're music and the material is of a certain quality or not, that they're conversations happening. I think it's great. And I do think there's a place for both, like a little bit of Grand Night for singing and some Heathers, you know? So I think it's a great balance. Like, as long as their theater departments and programs are giving them a diverse season and giving them opportunities to... There's a lot to learn from the classics, right? Mm-hmm. I find more and more in education that I'm working, whether it's at the high school level or the college level, trying to get people to find joy. And joy is really hard for people to do because of some of these angsty Heathers, Ring Awakening. I feel. It's very hard to
find. See, I don't think Rent is angsty, though. To me, oh. I don't get angsty from it. Well, and I was that whole generation and the craze and, you know, before there was the Hamilton cray-cray sitting on a street waiting in line for 10 hours. Like, I lived in New York and saw the workshops and was part of that whole crazy thing. I never got angst from it.
But you weren't a teenager during that time.
No, I was in my well,
That's another thing. It's like that when you're a teen and this material happens, or you're a late teen, early 20s, I think it's fantastic. I'm so happy that there's opportunities.
I love
to have
that there's educators all over the US that have a voice about this and are still trying to make it a priority for their students.
Yeah, there's also the opportunity to do cross-disciplinary education. So you have a show like Spring Awakening, and then in your English class, you start talking about the environment or the classic that came out of that, the classic that it's based on. And you can have cross-disciplinary education for the kids. And I also think it's like, I think we don't give kids, quote unquote, or teenagers enough credit for being so emotionally smart. Mm-hmm.
This generation is very involved, and they want to be involved. Yeah.
And so I agree with you. We should have a balance. There should be joy. There should be sorrow. There should be, you know, like both sides of life. But I think to say that they can't understand the material because it's too deep for them is our prejudice as adults.
I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. So I was kind of excited. I thought it was cool that, like, after these shows, they did have, like you were talking about, additional education, that they had support groups and they had all these people in the lobby to talk about things. I'm like, this is so cool. It's educating. It's starting a conversation. And apparently some of these teens want that to happen. So I don't know. I thought that was cool. We're running out of time, so I'm going to do some of these quickly. So, but that's okay, because we're all about arts education. So I think that was amazing. And I wish Lisa was here for that. And hopefully we can talk a little bit more about this next week. But the Big Ten, the most 10 represented colleges on Broadway in the 2017-18 season. Anyone have a guess what any of those top 10 might be?
Michigan.
CCM, Carnegie.
NYU.
Okay.
Elon, Boston Conservatory.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Number one, NYU.
Yeah.
Number two, University of Cincinnati.
Yeah, there you go.
College Conservatory of Music. Three, University of Michigan. We're getting all these in here. Four, AMDA. Five, Carnegie Mellon. Mm-hmm. Six, your alma mater, the Juilliard. Seven, Northwestern University. Eight, Boston Conservatory at Berkeley. Nine, Point Park University. Don't worry, y'all said every single university because I already know what they are. Then Florida State, then North Carolina School for the Arts. Yeah, I was surprised North Carolina School for the Arts. That was like number one back in my day.
Yeah, yeah. Mary Louise
but
Parker.
I'm an old lady. Tom Hulse, man. There's Joe a Mantello. Whole bunch of people. And look, Elon. Yeah, and Elon, remember
this
we
new one. It's
we
a
were
new,
just yeah, and so Corbin Mayer, who is currently playing Johnny Cash in Million Dollar Quartet, went to Elon, and boy, he how I carry my JJ Watt or Texans Tervis tumbler with me 24/7 a day for my football team, he does for his alma mater, and he talks about it all the time. He told us some really exciting stuff about the school when he was here a few weeks ago. So, yeah, I sent this to him.
Ooh, like, I want to steal that. I like that.
So, and it talks about this article, and we'll post it. I'll give this to you, and it lets you know who all the alumni are for all these different shows and how many alumni are in each one, and it's kind of cool, but it says, what does it take to land a Broadway show? Hard work, talent, luck, all backed up by a good education.
And a sturdy flask.
And a sturdy flask. So,
Not wrong.
Here we go. Ready? Ding, ding, ding. College or conservatory? There's an article. I love this article. College or conservatory? How to make the right choice for your performing arts degree. They didn't have this stuff back in the 80s, like on the line. Well, there was no web.
So on, on the line?
I guess like just some dude in England had it. It was still the interweb.
We were just talking about
it,
this. It's crazy.
You know, there was
resources.
The DOS system in the admin office, and that's about it. I was typing in the dark on a typewriter. Those were the days. This is pretty cool. It talks to you about what the differences are, what the pros and cons are for each of these, how to figure out which the best one is, and how to narrow it down and what you're gonna get out of these. So, like, are you looking for wide or narrow focus? What type of degree? What are your standards? How fully committed? How you make a decision? Found this fascinating. And they really covered from New England Conservatory of Music, Ithaca, UCLA, Albert School of Music, San Francisco Conservatory, Oberlin. Like, they really went and talked to different people. What a great resource tool. Like, hello. So would you like
that's
this article
super,
too?
Yeah. No. This is
I'll
so
give
helpful.
You that one. These are all going to be online. So, and here is, speaking of our education, and did I not? Okay, I didn't print this, but this will be online. This was the coolest article. How to create a sustainable theater education program. Hmm. Somebody yeah, I love that. It. I love it. Roderick turns around and...
Well, no, the thing about this college admission stuff, the thing that is so crazy with our kids at TexArts is how competitive it is for them to get in a musical theater program now. I think it's harder to get into music theater than pre-med. Like,
that's crazy.
It is crazy,
that's
right?
Exciting. But it's crazy.
But the competition is fierce, and the things they have to go to with pre-screens and these mass unified auditions and coaches, and it's pretty
yeah,
insane.
I only had like it's two insane. Auditions at NYU. I drove myself to school or went over here. Like, it was totally different.
It is. It's a whole
it's
different
big business.
It's a big,
big,
it
big
is a
business.
Big business.
And I love, at least they're guiding people, and you don't feel, I mean, you're going to get thrown to the wolves any way you look at it. No matter how prepared you are, you're going to feel that way at some point. I mean, that's how I feel. But I love that there are these tools out here. And again, conversation, because I, you know.
And engaging in your community, you know, TexArts, the Long Center, there are places here for...
To get that preparatory work, yeah.
We do the college audition program at the Long Center and TexArts, and there's so many different resources. I was just talking, we just dropped my godson off at Trinity, and it's not just theater education that's competitive. Higher education is competitive.
It's crazy.
I felt so proud of him as this 18-year-old young man getting accepted to Trinity. Higher education is competitive. So yes, the theater and musical theater and the arts training, but it's across the board.
I'll post this one article about the sustainable theater education program, and I'll share it with all you, with my guests too, so you have it. So it's pretty cool. So.
Smart on you,
that's
Nicole.
My
that's really
back to school section with Nick Squared. I know. I wish I had a cool soundbite like I did for our crime section. Sometimes there's crazy like Law and Order going on in the theater world, and we get excited when we get to report that because we can use sound effects of like doors closing and the hammer going.
Sesame Street. Yeah, so
it got me all. Did you see they Sesame Street put out an 80s mix video? So they all took old music videos, like Elmo has "Wake Me Up Before You Go Go," and he's got the Wham shirt on.
I love that.
And in bed, like. It's literally every back culture club. It is every single 80s video, and they go on, and it's like an 8-minute montage. They just put it out like a week ago. It brings joy to my face. I will shit. We can post that online. It is kind of just do 80s, and it's great. But speaking of decades, that's a great segue into this last little thing in the piece of music I'm going to play. Playbill has been doing this piece all summer called Mixtape, and they kind of will focus on disco or certain types of aspects of songs, and now they're getting into the decades. So this week was Musical Theater 101 from the 1930s.
Oh.
Yeah, all these, by the way, these Playbill mixtapes, they're so cool and how they cover different songs. So they put together a historical guide of songs from Porgy and Bess, My Funny Valentine. There were so many songs on here, I did not know what to choose. I mean, Anything Goes, Girl Crazy, New Yorkers, Porgy and Bess, Jumbo, Boys from Syracuse, Girl Crazy, The Bandwagon, Babes in Arms, The Cradle of Rock. I'm like,
Rodgers and Hart.
Oh my God, there's so many songs on. Yeah, it's like a whole, I'm like, I could do a cabaret for four nights with this stuff. Like, this is just
and
everything. And I would, and I have done some of these in a cabaret. So because I'm a Jersey, New Yorker, Texan, Japanese Not. Girls trapped in an Italian-Irish body. I chose, I happen to like New York.
Oh, nice.
And Judy was bringing me down. I tried to get Judy Garland, but she has no uplifting versions of that. So, I'm sorry, Judy. We're going to go with a little Bobby Short that he recorded back in the 80s. And then we'll be back with our guest from TexArts with a little Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
It's the best.
It is. See you in a moment.
I happen to like New
York. Well, we are back. We are back. We're all sitting here looking at this list going,
It's just such a 1930s. What a good time.
It's like, I want to say I want to live then, but I don't think I really wanted to live in the 1930s. But yet I probably would like to time travel for a day there.
You would have made it a little brighter.
Oh, I probably would have been in jail. To be quite honest with you, I'm lucky in this lifetime I haven't spent a lot of time there.
In the clink.
Yeah, I would have been in the clink. I would have been a doll.
Taken away you in a paddy wagon, Nicole.
Probably. So we just 1930s.
Just breaking
that's
everything.
That's okay.
Yep. You'll be taken
we
away.
We show how the sausage is made on offstage and on the air. So it is all good. It is all good. So we have TexArts in here. Y'all are one of my favorite shows in the entire world. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Woo-hoo!
So let's reintroduce everybody here. Christina Stroop.
Hi.
You were playing one Miss Mona there, aren't
you? I surely am, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Robert Stanford, how are you?
Fantastic.
I'm good. And you were playing Jewel, right?
Yes. Which is typically a female role, but we are changing things at out in Lakeway, so it's going to be kind of fun.
Well, I got a little excited when I typed that. I was like, oh, they're switching it up, so I can't wait to talk about this. So,
yes.
I knew that right away, my little whorehouse music antenna went off.
My whorehouse antenna.
You might not want to say that, Nicole.
Ding, 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 ding.
Just you wait,
This show changed.
Yes,
so,
a little bit.
So, and Lauren... Now I'm going to say it wrong because I was saying it.
Give DeFilippo.
DeFilippo.
That's it. There
you
go. Perfect.
Going to have some... I just made cannoli last week. I should have brought it in. And you were playing Angel.
Yes, that is right.
And Jarrett, you're kind of like the man. So, I mean... Why don't you give everybody all your different titles and the role you're playing on this? Because
I get to have a lot of fun with the show because I'm in it. And so I'm playing the Sheriff, Ed Earl. Sheriff Ed Earl.
Yeah, Ed Earl's kind of exciting.
He's kind of fun. He's a little bit of a hothead, but he's a lot of fun. And then I have a day job at TexArts, so I'm the executive director of TexArts as well.
Will you tell our listeners, like myself, who are familiarizing themselves with the city, tell us a little bit of like a 5 seconds history on TexArts.
Oh, gosh.
What it doesn't have to be 5 seconds.
What it is and what you do.
Tell us about TexArts. What's the mission and what are you guys?
TexArts has basically two branches. We have an academy where we serve about 200 students in after school programs in voice, acting, and dance.
And ages?
2 to 18.
Amazing.
Yeah. And so TexArts is also a professional equity theater. Mm-hmm. So we have a series of equity shows and we have a series of youth shows as well. So in our little 10,000 square feet out there, we have a lot of programming going on.
Awesome. And where are you guys located?
We're at Loman Spur in Lakeway right off of 620.
That's super cool.
It's a beautiful area.
I'm coming to see you guys tomorrow, and I'm super, super, super pumped.
Yes. And Lisa's already been, so...
I just have a question. When... If I were to say the words, Texas has a whorehouse in it, what would you
Lord
say?
Lord have mercy on our souls!
I'm not in that song, so I don't
none of us
sing
are
it
in that.
So I just,
yeah,
want to,
us
I just want to say
song
it one more time. Texas has a whorehouse in it.
Lord have mercy on our souls.
That's that what I'm always
so
walking
happy
around. It makes me so happy too.
Honestly, when I picked this show for Lakeway, I was really, really nervous. I didn't know how it'd go over. And yeah, when we were doing the Patsy Cline show and it was announced as our next show, it got so much applause. I think Texans are so proud.
Texans
to have
are proud.
Legacy
listen
in their state.
Well, they're proud. There's a lot of they're proud because of Marvin Zindler, the dude that basically was the guy that truly did go out in LaGrange and shut down this chicken ranch. Mm-hmm. You know, he only passed away a few years ago, and he truly is that guy. Like, I don't know, do y'all ever watch Houston News? I mean, he had jingles for everything. There's slime in the ice machine. I said, there's slime in the ice machine. And he would report on bad restaurants with slime in the ice machine.
I love that.
So the fact that it's so, like, people outside of Texas are like, oh, I love the parody. I'm like, but it's not. Like, like, it's not. And I think it's just the history. I mean, the true history with UT and the true history that is in the show. I don't know. I read a good story that when they took the show to Broadway, the real Miss Mona, and I can't think of her name offhand.
Edna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was running tricks and running a whorehouse out of her hotel.
Let me just tell you, Broadway rehearsals minimum is not enough. Good for her.
Yeah, she had a little cameo in the Broadway production.
Yes. So, and I guess Tommy Tuna had to tell her a few times to knock it off, and she just kept doing her thing.
Let it go.
And there was a whole big paper in the Times, but let's talk about your show and not all these other people.
So talk a little bit about why you chose this piece. I know that New York producers have been buzzing around this piece forever. Chris Catelli.
They want to get it back. They
desperate
want
to get it back. So what made you think, like, why now? Why here? Other than the fact that it's just really freaking good. Fun.
I think that was really, when it comes down to it, at TexArts as a producer of the series, my goal is to bring an audience in to have a good time.
Great.
Hard not to with this show.
Yeah, and the most rewarding part of my job when I'm not in a show is just to sit back in that aisle and watch those 116 people having a blast for 2 hours. And that's really what it's all about. It's a show that's been on my bucket list for a long time. And so I was just kind of like, I
now
love the country
the
musicals too.
How'd y'all jump into this piece? So talk a little bit, Lauren, about the character you play. I want to hear about the characters you guys play and how this process has been for you as actors.
Yeah, so this is my second show at TexArts, and I absolutely love it. I just did The Marvelous Wonderettes with Christina back in the spring.
Nice.
And so jumping to this show is definitely changing gears a bit. I guess you could say Angel kind of is one of the lead whores in the show.
But your mama must be proud.
Oh, she's very proud. She's been to the show twice already. And but no, she comes from a rough background, and she comes and sees and meets Miss Mona and tries to get hired on there. And when she does, I think she falls in love with the place. And deep down, I think she has a big heart, mm-hmm, even though she has a tough shell. So.
Uh-huh. Wow. Awesome. And Miss Mona, talk a little bit about your character.
Well, she doesn't like to be called a madam. Mm-mm. She's Miss Mona. Mm-hmm. And she runs the house, and she doesn't take no crap from nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is she very tough and she's very businesslike, but you also get to see a softer side of her where she genuinely cares about her girls.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants them to do well and to succeed. And you get to see little glimpses of that while she has her tough exterior. Mm-hmm. And then we have Jewel, who's like her muscle that helps take care of the girls.
That's hysterical.
Okay, Roderick's grinning. I wish we had the camera going right now.
He's living his dream.
You just turned into the Cheshire cat and lit up at the same time.
Talk about being the muscle to Miss Mona.
Well, first of all, let's give a little background. This role is typically played by a female.
Uh-huh.
So it's a sassy black female. So now you have a 6'4" sassy black male.
And you're not having any fun.
Huh?
You're not having any fun.
I'm hating every single moment of it.
They've been locking him in the closet because they're afraid he won't come back.
But no, it's a lot of fun because you get to take it and change it a little bit and making it myself. But like you said, I'm the muscle and the assistant to keep the hose in line. Can you say
you
that?
Can say hose.
Okay. So that's my job. And that's my job. And so I am having a blast, and feeding off of this young lady has just been tremendous. I couldn't have asked for anything better.
I snuck
my
a
little small part.
Well, I believe y'all have a song that
we would like to do, right?
Yes.
So, do you guys want? I would love to, if we could do that. If someone want to set up the song or
The who, what?
Sure, absolutely. This is the part of the show, this is in the second act, where all of the business has been on television, and Melvin has broadcast on Watchdog News that Texas has a whorehouse in it, Lord have mercy on our souls, as we sang earlier. Mm-hmm. And this is a moment that's just Jewel and Mona alone, where they just take a step back, and she's like, you know what? Life's tough, but it's going to be okay. And that's what this song's about. No lies.
Cool.
Well, fabulous. We have Christina, Roderick, and Lauren here performing a little bit of No Lies from The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Hold on.
My headphones are not working.
Yeah, your headphone volume is in front of you.
Here I am.
That's okay.
Let's do this again. One more game, guys.
Take two.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
this is why I'm an actress and I don't do anything else.
You can't.
Welcome to Live.
I need you to be able to hear. So,
well, that's good. It's good.
We'll do that again.
Yes.
All right. Are we ready for
now? Take two.
Take two.
Yes. Jewel, honey, you just gotta learn to expect nothing out of life. Were you fixing to say a little something about how life don't seem too fair? Don't even start. Were you looking to get a little disappointed? Teardrop going there, don't make me laugh.
Oop.
Oh, we gotta skip.
Hey, I think we gotta skip in this disc, which is making me frustrated.
Well, I can keep going.
Who said life was a circus poster? Not me. So ask me no questions, give me no answers, and I'll tell you no lies.
Well, you're getting yourself a little moody, 'cause some folks are downright mean. Oh me, oh my, ain't that a shame?
Such a shame.
Well, you're fixing to make a little speech about the troubles that you've seen. Please spare me that sense of pitying. Who said life was a bowl of berries? Who said life was peach ice cream? Who said life was a box of cherries? Not me. So ask me no questions, give me no answers, and I'll sell you no dreams.
Were you thinking that you were gonna maybe have to leave this lonely town again one more time? Were you feeling a little like a baby who just got it so knocked down? You say you were, I say well, so what? Who said life was a song to sing it? Who said life was such a snap?
My microphone back on.
Wow. Woo! You guys. Sorry about that. I have the perma smile. What a cool, cool sound.
Yeah. Okay. I love that Jewel's not a female anymore.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It adds a totally different little dynamic to it.
It does.
Fun. And the hard part is for me is to not go too campy with it because we're, you know.
Oh no! I encourage you just go.
Oh my goodness!
Is it?
Well, that was a lot of fun. Well, we're out of time, but please, I hope y'all can stick around for backstage and offstage, and I hope we can talk a little bit more about you and your roles and a little bit more about the show too, because
I love it. That was exciting.
What a great performance, you guys.
So thank you all so much for being on. It was Christina Stroop, Roderick Sanford, Lauren DiFilippo, Jarrett Mallon with the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, playing at TexArts right now through September 3rd. For more information, you may visit texarts.org, and that's TEX-ARTS.org. And with that, I chose one of the songs that y'all were going to play, but I chose a version by Cyndi Lauper. Well, that was kind of exciting. I'm gonna today in theater history, honestly, was not that really exciting. Basically it was all depressing. Oscar Hammerstein passed away today. There was a lot of sad stuff going on, but we have birthdays. Rags Raglan, Gene Kelly, Charles Bush. Love me some Charles Bush. And Andrew Wannells.
There you go.
A little bon anniversaire. And we're going to roll right into our next guest because I'm just excited about this. I was telling both of our guests earlier, I am so drawn to the ocean. And I just think this sounds so fascinating, what you're doing. So from the currently at the Vortex, they have the show Ocean. And we are so lucky enough to have Ebony Stewart and Sonja Parks, because I was saying it opposite before. Sonja Parks in here. Ebony, you're the writer and performer of Ocean. And Sonja, you're directing this piece.
I am, yeah.
So this is exciting to have the two of you in here. And let me just say, your photographs for this are so beautiful. They're inviting and this ethereal aquatic ocean. So can you tell us a little bit about this piece?
Yeah, so really, honestly, Ocean is what I thought my first piece was going to be. The first piece I put up was Hunger. So this is more like a sequel to Hunger.
So Ocean. It is. Okay, is this a sequel to the piece or not?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure. And it basically just covers girl to womanhood. It talks a lot about fertility and reproduction and me just on the way back to myself, a journey. We like to use the line, softness is not a weakness. And so...
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Women empowerment for sure.
So did you have, when you did Hunger, did you have some of these themes already in your mind? And that was, you were like all automatically thought, okay, I'm going to go ahead and work on the second piece. Or was this kind of like you were done with Hunger and you're like, wait a minute, there's more story to tell. Like, was this a natural progression?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? So me as a writer, I experience the thing and then I go home and I write about the things that I experienced, right? And so, yeah, there's so many layers of familiarity in Ocean from Hunger, but Ocean is its own whole new, brand new groove, you know what I mean? And so it feels good that it has its own life, its own story, its own journey, its own path, its own wave, right? So, yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. And Sonja, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So when you're working as a director and your talent is also the author, how does that work into your process of directing? I mean, I'm sure the two of you must have an incredible connection to work close like this, but how do you look at directing from that aspect when you have the creator in the room with you?
It actually, believe it or not, makes it infinitely easier for me, because as opposed to having to go and look up whether or not something was valid or if it was the author's intent, I can say, Ebony, what did you mean when you said this? And it, so,
what a,
yeah.
Yeah, what a gift. And yeah. And Ebony, on that note, how did you come to choose your director? How did this relationship and collaboration come to be?
Well, you know what? I feel like the universe brought Sonja into my life. It was right on time. We met through Sharon Bridgeforth, who is an amazing playwright all over, but I'm pretty sure like started or got a lot of roots here in Austin as well. Yeah. So yeah, it just so happened that I needed a director and Sonja came into my path. Yeah.
I was pretty fortunate too. Mm-hmm. Sharon, Bridgeforth, I'd say 20 years ago. Okay, why not? 20 years ago.
I did earlier. It's okay.
Hyde Park Theater and when everybody and their dog was coming to Austin and coming through Austin, some amazing people
came through here and started their, or kind of began the trajectory of their careers here. Mm-hmm. Sharon was already pretty well established in Los Angeles, but when she came to Austin, she just went kaboom. And I was fortunate enough to get to know her when she was here. And so that whole kind of, I guess it was called the avant-garde theater mm-hmm. scene. So people like Sharon and Daniel Alexander Jones and Lori Carlos, God rest her soul, and mm-hmm. all of these amazing people started coming through here. And we managed to kind of stay a cohesive unit, even as we went around the world and did other things. And so through Sharon, I met Ebony, and I think too it was just like the universal yeah. connection was like, yeah, yeah, okay, cool.
So Ebony, talk about you know, a one woman show that you wrote. How does it feel? Are you sharing this with audiences yet? Where are you in your process right now?
This is going to be its debut.
Its debut. How yeah. are you feeling? What's going on inside you right now, knowing that
I'm really anxious. I feel like I've been in training this whole entire summer. So me writing for this and me preparing for this actually started last year even, mm-hmm. or maybe the year before last. And this summer alone has felt like, you know, a boxer getting ready for a big match, right? And mm-hmm. the training and what I'm giving of my body and the ancestral work that I'm doing and believing in myself and, you know, like all the anxiety.
Because this is a personal narrative.
Yes, totally. So, it's
and
totally
for
personal.
For our listeners who don't know, I mean, that's like
that's a whole nother beast of performance. Yes. Yeah.
So I could imagine.
There's still moments like when we're in rehearsal, and depending on who's in the room, I get really emotional because I'm nervous that the judgment is already happening, mm-hmm. Or they're thinking about something that I'm saying as bad or good mm-hmm. or what they're mm-hmm. experiencing or what they're thinking. And then people are bringing their energy into the room as well. And so mm-hmm. I get really anxious, but sometimes it's in a really, really good way, right? To be overwhelmed with joy or happiness that I'm relatable and that people get it. Mm-hmm. Or if they don't get it, that they just came and shared and viewed how one person lives a life. You know?
What drives you to share this story right now? Is it, talk about where you are in your evolution, that it's where, how it's found its way out of your mouth.
Yeah. I think for me, definitely. Oh, well, wait, let me restart that sentence. Cause I'm really trying to work on not saying I think when there are things that I know.
I completely relate to that. What, so, good self-correct.
Yeah. Right. So I know that for me, I'm still introducing myself to myself. And there's so much embarrassment wrapped around just being a woman on an everyday basis and the different things that we go through and experience, especially as being a Black woman. And so for me, being able to express that and give that is freeing almost. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like, I don't know how to really explain it. It just feels like I'm anxious, I'm nervous, but it's so necessary. And in order for me to heal, I have to put the work out. I have to put it out into the world for people to also help themselves heal as well.
Hopefully. It's an amazing level of generosity that you're offering the audiences in the world right now. So our audiences who come to see your piece, what could they expect to on what kind of journey, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask this in another way.
Nick, she does have a little bit of a piece to perform us, yeah. So maybe we could get a taste of it and then talk.
Let's do that.
Talk a little bit more so you get like things. The sample. Yeah.
The sample, here we go. It's called Hello. Hello, emotional labor. Hello, girl with ramshackle mouth and devastated heart. Hello, voice found in the back of your mother's throat. Hello, swallow that never does. Hello, reaching, pulling back dust. Hello, worlds falling apart. Hello, lonely. Hello, mess up. Hello, hard that doesn't trust soft. Hello, wanna be loved. Hello, hello, drought winter brings and growing summer's blood. Hello, wanna be woman. Hello, ocean's tank and sharks and teeth and shred and chewed limbs and Jamaican rain shadow and second line. Hello, dry fruit still bloom. Hello, brass tongue, a steel band. Hello, native to this body. What's going on?
Wow.
Ooh, okay, between the song and that today, like, woo.
That was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So, okay, Nick, now I'm going to finish with that question.
Now I have more questions.
I was like, because I know it probably changed now.
So in asking these questions, you're also asking the questions of the audience and those who are coming to spend time with
for
you,
sure,
right?
For sure.
So if I'm an audience member, I'm imagining that I would come from in a place where I'm open to asking myself some questions.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully, right? Hopefully you walk in ready to receive and also give positive, good energy. I'm hoping that you walk in and you're just like kind of blown away just even by the incredible set that's up and the lights and the sound and the costumes and everything that's going to basically transform you into a womb experience, even along a wave, along a shore, a ocean.
So because you are so generous, if you had one request of audience members who are coming to see your work, what would it be? What would your wish for them to be? So we can extend that generosity back to you.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a really good question. I would say don't be afraid to feel something other than joy.
It's a lot of joy today. Yeah. I like it. We're the joy makers in
thank
life.
You, Eleni. Thank you
very much. Sanja, is there something in this piece that struck to you while working on it? Like something that you unexpected that you didn't expect to experience?
Oh, on a almost hourly basis. The thing that really moves me about the piece is the beautiful vulnerability that Ebony is showing in her performance and in her work. And so one of the pieces that really strikes my heart and moves me deeply is a piece about her grandmother that is very kind of, it's about helping herself save herself. So again, embracing all the aspects of who you are and not being afraid to be open, even in a world that kind of throws things at you that would make you want to close up.
What a bold thing to be this vulnerable in a time where it's so easy, as you just said, to close
it
up.
Is.
Yeah. And do we, as does Austin keep you? Are you here?
Oh, does Austin keep me? Austin would love to keep me. I'm back and forth from Austin to Houston a lot. I used to live in Austin for like 13 years, and then I decided when I became a full-time artist to get the support that I needed to move back home to my family. And so, but I'm here enough.
Great.
The gas and the mileage says that I am here.
We're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. And I hope you guys, we're out of time, but I hope you guys will stay around too. I hope we can talk to you more because it's awesome people. Good backstage today. So thank you so very much. Ebony Stewart and Sanja Parks, both part of Ocean, written by Ebony Stewart at the Vortex, opening this weekend, the 25th, running through September 4th. For more information, you may visit vortexrep.org. We'll be back in 2 seconds. Hi, we are back. So that was a really good show. We're gonna bust out of here in like 2 seconds. So stand by for Austin Monitor News. We'll be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Nick, thank you so much for another wonderful show.
Thank you.
And stick around. Offstageonair.com. You can get the show. Thanks. Bye.
I got so much to say. If way and still you